Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty. For Christians, Easter is the most significant time of the year. The events that took place on Calvary divide our timeline in two. The human story pivots around that place. It permeates our culture in art and music with its story of sacrifice, salvation, and redemption. One of the latest to bring his very distinct treatment to the story of Calvary is multi-award-winning country artist Colin Buchanan. This is Colin returning to a style that is at the same time simple and profound. It's a wonderful album. It speaks from his heart, the heart of one for whom and for whose family Easter has a very special significance.
It's lovely to be in the open house again.
Colin, what does Easter mean to you and your family?
We head up to the Blue Mountains, west of Sydney, where there's a Christian convention. There's a house that we've been renting since each year. We sort of put our foot in the door, and we're there year after year. And so there's this lovely mixture of mountains and mist and the gathering of Christian people in a fairly sizable arrangement, the teaching of the Bible, and then family traditions, which, you know, include having toast and pumpkin soup and an Easter egg hunt on Sundays, even though our kids are all in their 20s now.
Oh, and, yes, of course.
You know, but it's chocolate, let's face it. All those things sort of combine to make Easter a really lovely family time. And, of course, you know, embedded in that is the journey through the weekend and being a way of Friday being reflection on the death of Christ, and then this lovely Sunday celebration. And it really is quite potent and powerful to be in a big gathering of singing, learning, worshiping Christians when they
celebrate. With Saturday in the middle, it's unlike any other day of the year. It's it's a finished but not yet finished feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you know, in some ways, Easter Saturday is a little picture of life for the Christian person, isn't it? Christ has come, and they're waiting for that final fulfillment. And in the meantime, it's not everything seems to be quite finished. And in the sense of, you know, we continue to have our struggles and difficulties and challenges and joys and pleasures along the way, but we wait for the final completion.
We know that Christ is returning. How now shall we act?
Yes, that's right. And the big I read a lovely little account of a friend of mine who was in a little town in Western Queensland, I think it was. He's on a long drive and had to wait for a store to open to get money out so he could buy a pie at the bakery for breakfast. And the fella before him, they had a little exchange with the shop assistant about the loss of this fella's dad. And Peter, my friend, picked up on it, and he said, "Look, I'm a pastor, so I'm one of the God guys, but I couldn't help overhearing the conversation. Do you think the struggles of this life point to the fact that we were made for another life?" And the shop assistant was a bit of a burly character who seemed to not be someone who might be particularly open to spiritual things. But he'd been bereaved, and it opened up a whole conversation about the loss of his dad and the sort of yearning for something more in this life. And it was a really delightful conversation. And the fella said, "I can't believe you actually asked me that." And so I think there's a lot of discussion about not only the rich things of this life, but the losses as well, and what we anticipate, in the future.
I think a lot of Christians are a little bit afraid of having those conversations, but they can be one of the most rewarding things that we do. You've made a career out of telling stories about these sorts of things. How's the new album going, Cavalry Road?
You said Cavalry Road. Naughty, naughty, naughty boy.
How's the new album going, Calvary Road?
Calvary Road is going, it's finding its home out there, and I'm finding Calvary Road is the sort of album that, I mean, it sounds funny to say, you know, you need to hear it. But it's not full of poke your eye out singles. it's not a highly commercial sort of album in that sense. It's much more of a musical conversation, perhaps a bit of a stroll through a gallery, because there are lots of portraits in the album, which I think is quite a potent way to share the effect of the life of Christ on people, is to share stories. And what you begin to realize is that there's a great resonance in human experience. And to me, just in saying, you know, we don't have conversations enough about the eternal matters, and as Christians about matters of faith with people who don't share our faith. But I feel like there is so much that we share with one another as people in this amazing world, with the dilemma of mortality, which even the most strident atheist shares that with me. And so we have common ground in that we have to make sense of this life, and of relationships, of life and death, of what's meaningful. And there's a lot of common ground to try and work that out. No one comes as an objective observer in all this. We have our very existence is tied up in making sense of this world, and in the gospel that's and in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and just to examine his life and the implications, and death and the implications of that. It's an incredibly potent thing to talk about with people.
Outside the camp, no one's jeering. You feel lonely and small. Out there, no one needs reminding. Stuck outside the city wall. Life can dry up and blow away like that restless desert sand. Jesus, what do you think you're doing outside the camp?
Talk about the track Outside the Camp.
Well, I wasn't sure whether this... it was the first single, so I've had some interesting conversations. It's been released into the country music scene, and you know, it's really a song that says, think of the least likely place that you would encounter a king, and that's where you encounter Christ. In other words, this person who's described as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you know, the Supreme One, actually gets into the garbage dump of Golgotha, into the execution grounds, and there he dies. And that's where you meet him, and he's the only one who doesn't just go to the grave, but steps out of the grave. So he expresses his kingship in the most potent way possible by serving and saving, and then by stepping out of the grave and inviting those who follow him to do the same. And that's an incredibly potent image.
Yes, and so much of Jesus' story that speaks to the outsider in all of us. None of us ever really feel like we belong, I suspect, and Jesus certainly comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet he's never recognized as such, and he's an outsider, he's an outcast. Even his death, as you've spelled out, has all of those elements to it, and yet, because of that very thing, the bloke in the pie shop, or the woman who's in an abusive relationship, or the child who's bullied at school, all of those people can turn to him because he's one of them.
Yes, exactly. And it's a really potent, beautiful image that, that he takes on flesh, and so he knows our pain, and he knows the struggle of humanity, and but he meets that, with this remarkable service and triumph as well, which is just which does brings us back to Easter, doesn't it, Stephen? It's that the potency of Easter is in not simply the death of Christ, but his triumph over the grave.
On Open House, we're speaking with the great Colin Buchanan. As you record these tracks, and as they roll out, well, commercially, as you've mentioned, they spark interesting conversations. It's an industry that's full of people living on the edge and in many ways outsiders themselves. What a wonderful place to have ministry in and of itself.
It is an interesting place to be. I'm surprised often by people who will identify me as a Christian, and I think I haven't really talked to them about my faith. but they'll identify me as a Christian, and then I'll find that it'll be, you know, they might be facing some sort of difficulty, or they'll have a question, perhaps a moral question, or they might be even a loss, or even a question about the Bible, and then the phone will ring, and it'll be one of my music mates.
You're the go-to guy.
Yeah, which is a really quite a delightful, it's quite a delightful thing to, you know, to take that role in friendship. I mean, it is a, you know, as you well know, you collide in sometimes very intense ways, but only for a short time, and then you slide out of each other's life. You know, you might be on tour together, or doing a concert or a show, or shooting a TV project, and then you slide out of each other's lives again. So, you know, it is an interesting sort of relational climate to play a part as a Christian in, I'm very grateful for it.
Outside the camp, see them coming. First a trickle and a flow. They're hungry for forgiveness. They got nowhere else to go. Grace is never cheap or easy. It puts nails in hands. Jesus knew what he was doing outside the camp. Jesus knew what he was outside the camp. Holy suffering in that place. Well, there's pain and there's disgrace, and there's everlasting grace outside the camp. Outside the camp.
Always lovely to have a yarn, and one of these days there might be a forlorn little knock on the door, and it'll be me with my guitar at your open house.
We'll leave the porch light on for you, Colin.
Yeah, that's right. And then the milk bottle.
That's it. Bless you, mate. Thank you.
Go well. Thanks, Steve.